This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That feels like a voice I've not heard in a while or seen. Audrey Raj there, of course, on that PSA. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Raj
and Christine Wong.
It is 12:45, coming up to 12:46. The question we're asking, what would you do if somebody you knew was spreading misinformation? Would you report them? Would you talk to them? Would you block them? Or would you ignore them? The votes over on Twitter, not really much change.
29.7 for report them, 36.6 for talk to them, 8.7 for block them, and 25% for ignore them.
There you go. You still have a few minutes left if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp or via Instagram. We do have one final story of the day, and some people might say that Pokemon Go has had its day. Not according to their creators, Niantic. They've opted to hold their annual Pokemon Go festival online, of course, due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, so the very nature of Pokemon Go, it's a game that encourages you to go outside and walk around. So you can imagine that Niantic had to make some changes. Back in March, actually, they did tweak the game a little bit with some updates for features that make it easier to play in individual settings due to, obviously, COVID-19. So, for example, they allowed... they increased the amount of habitats and Pokestops that dropped gifts at a higher frequency, and they offered incense packs, so you can sort of quote-unquote buy with in-game currency.
I noticed Arvin is nodding his head,
so he clearly
knows all about it.
So essentially, you can buy in-game incense to attract Pokemon to your location, and so they increased the amount that you could buy in the app with in-game currency at a 99% discount, and also increase the effectiveness of incubators to hatch eggs twice as fast because you don't get to walk around as much by that logic. But they've now updated a little bit as well, because around this time of year would be the annual Pokemon Go Fest, where many people who in America could congregate together and do these group activities called raids, where you sort of band together to catch a rarer Pokemon. And me saying that reveals me as a massive nerd.
I've always wondered what happens though. I mean, if there are like 20 people all trying to catch the same Pokemon,
there's a limit on the raid party as well. And also, you do need a certain amount because the Pokemon will be very overpowered, and all that, basically. But the point of this is that the normal Pokemon Go Fest would be a crowd craziness. You know, it would be super crowded. I think the last one that we saw, it was like hundreds of thousands of people all in one space. The first Pokemon Go Fest, for example, was held in Chicago in 2017. Future festivals would expand to other countries like Japan and Germany, and not here. But this marks the first time that Pokemon Go Fest attendees will be allowed to attend both days of the event, because the event is going virtual. Previously, players could only attend one out of 2 days to allow other people to have a chance at catching those rare Pokemon. And obviously, with the event going virtual this year as well, Niantic plans to increase the number of tickets available. And the event is also global as well as a result. So they've said that they're taking steps to make tickets available to as many trainers as possible. And they have not detailed exactly what the two-day festival will include. But they do note new experiences, gameplay, and surprises will be included. I have thoughts about this mainly because one of the big criticisms of Pokemon Go when it first came out was that a lot of people in more rural areas were not really capable of playing the game to its fullest extent, because the way that Pokemon Go works is that because it's augmented reality, it uses the location around you, and it uses, tourist attractions or buildings around you to attach Pokestops to, and essentially in the more sort of city-like area you're in, the more likely you are to catch more Pokemon by the very nature of their more Pokestops, etc. So they've always had the power, apparently, to increase, you know, the, I guess, virtual traffic to those areas, and they've only now chosen to do that. So that's already a bit of a, you could have done this the whole time, why didn't you, for me. And also now, with this virtual event, I'm confused. The very nature of raids in the game is that you sort of do have to get together and fight this thing in this location. So, I mean, I feel like it sort of detracts from the entire point of Pokemon Go, if you're now giving everyone a chance to access these, what should be exclusive Pokemon as well.
Right.
So, you know, I...
And area specific.
Yeah. Right. So the other thing about Pokemon Go is that some Pokemon are geographically specific. I think, for example, you can only get a Tauros if you're in the US. You can only get a Mr. Mime if you're in Europe. Stuff like that. So, you know, that's the sort of idea behind it is, you know, you are encouraged to travel and walk around and do things. And I understand that they're also trying to pivot their own business model in these times. But I don't know that virtual raids are the way to go. And also the fact that they're so vague about what this upcoming fest is going to be, you know, including. I just don't know what would be the draw here.
A few months ago, I remember heading down to Lau Yat Plaza, and there was a guy who had what looked like a tray, and he was carrying this tray with him. And I'm like, what is he doing? And on that tray, he'd got five phones. And on each of those phones, he was playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And I was amazed by this, because he was just like, you know, trying to catch all. And it's a huge thing for some people.
Absolutely. But I don't know. I feel that I haven't played Pokemon Go in a long time, to be quite honest. And I also, I downloaded the sort of partner game that Niantic released that is Harry Potter themed called Wizards Unite a while ago. And I have also put that to rest for quite a while now. But I personally think that one of the most interesting things you could do on both apps is, you know, make friends and sort of battle virtually with these friends at the gyms or the whatever that you call them, the dungeons. And I feel like, why not make that more the focus instead of trying to get these raids where you do need more than, you know, two people, generally speaking, to congregate virtually or in real life? You know, why not include more solo things that you can maybe create an AI for some battles, for example? You could, you know, there are so many ways and means to make a game accessible to solo players or people staying at home.
So now it's just like a normal game. Like, it's like a video game.
Yeah,
like any
much.
Other
it feels
person.
Like World of Warcraft or something along those lines.
Yeah. Because if you just logged on to like a server or space or, you know, a virtual geographical setting and you're there, you're not there in person, then it just becomes any other video game, like a third person shooter or something. Right?
I feel like, unfortunately for Niantic, the niche that they were banking on, which is to go out and do things, just isn't applicable anymore. So
on that sad note, then we should probably wrap up, shouldn't we?
We should probably go.
Oh gosh.
Glad it's Friday tomorrow. It means I don't have to see his face for a while. Right. The question we've been asking you has been, what would you do if somebody you knew was spreading misinformation? The final tally of 172 votes is...
29.7 for report them, 36.6 for talk to them, 8.7 for block them, and 25% for ignore them.
You guys are so polite. You just want to talk to people and let them know they're wrong. Me and Christine earlier on were saying how bad it feels when we have to do that.
Yeah.
And Arvin.
Yep.
Right. Stories, of course, that we covered today. We started off with that story about how Donald Trump has freaked out at Twitter and has basically said, if you keep doing this to me, I will shut down social media. Ranting away as you do. Mm-hmm. Arvin, your story was about?
We spoke about anti-COVID-19 clothes and how they are now a reality.
And for our last story, we talked about how Pokemon Go is going online with their Pokemon Go Fest being virtual this year.
Stick around. We have the Breakfast Grill replay coming up at 1 o'clock. It's with Wong Wai Ken, the Malaysia country manager for Stashaway. They are a digital wealth management platform, more commonly known as a robo-advisor, that aims to deliver automated, personalized portfolio management to each client's individual portfolio. All coming up just after the 1 o'clock news. Don't forget, we'll be here in the studio from 10 a.m. tomorrow morning for Enterprise. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Rich Bradbury on behalf of Arvin Uvaraj and Christian Wong. This has been Enterprise here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.